The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for this netcast. We're talking about something very important in this netcast, and it is taken from a video that was shot at Faith and Victory Church recently where I preached the Word of God, and we're talking about watching your attitude, okay? You gotta have the right attitude, particularly with regards to your finances. So let's go right into that message right now. We're having to run our sound a little differently tonight because of the way that I'm videoing this with my equipment, and that's just the way that works. Hallelujah. Oh, lights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm a great believer in light. Part of it comes from being a photographer and videographer. Part of it is that we're just children of light. You know, praise the Lord. The darkness is not our natural environment. Hallelujah. So anyway, as I said, Pastor is out. He asked me to take tonight and to minister the word, and I've got something that I believe the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. It's actually, a lot of it is from some teaching I heard recently from Keith Moore. If you have not had an opportunity to hear Keith Moore, by all means, avail yourself of his teaching. Awesome, awesome teaching. He is, I think, unusual in that though he travels, he's also a pastor. And he has that pastoral anointing as well as a teaching anointing. And that combination just makes for awesome teaching. And, of course, same thing with Pastor Ed. Praise the Lord. I mean, he teaches the word. He travels. He just has that same kind of anointing. So it's fun to see that, you know, that flow, that anointing in operation. I am a teacher. I am not a pastor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, Dr. Bill, you're excited about not being a pastor. Well, I appreciate the pastor's ministry a lot, and I appreciate the pastoral anointing. I have pastored before, back in 1980, 81 time frame, and hallelujah. It was just a case of where, you know, I said, Lord, here am I, send me, and he took me up on it, and I learned a lot and found out I wasn't anointed as a pastor, praise the Lord. And that makes it harder. It's not easy when you're anointed as a pastor, you know, praise the Lord. But anyway, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Go ahead and start finding that location. And we'll just open up our teaching tonight in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to gather around your word. Father God, your word is our absolute authority for our life in terms of our walk, in terms of teaching, in terms of everything that we learn from you must come from your word. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. And, sir, we just believe that he will have free reign, free course here tonight to reveal the word of God to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew 6, verse 24. Now, this is very familiar scripture if you was raised Baptist. All right. We heard this scripture a lot growing up. And you don't hear it much around Word of Faith circles. And I think that's a shame because it's something we need to hear. It's something we need to receive from as believers because this is key to our attitude. And really, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm titling this, Watch Your Attitude. And we'll talk more about what I mean by that as we get into this. But it says here in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Now, Jesus is speaking here. Okay, this is his authority speaking. No man can serve two masters. Now, if that's the case, then let me just put it this way. It must be impossible to serve two masters, right? If Jesus said it, it's true, all right? So, he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he makes it clear what he's talking about. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, this term mammon, like I said, I heard this, you know, being raised Southern Baptist, I heard about mammon, 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 mammon. And the whole thrust of the teaching that I heard growing up was, see, you can't have money. If you have money, money is evil. The Bible says money is the root of all evil. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with Christians having money as long as the money doesn't have the Christian. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here. Mammon is a term that basically means money and things, and particularly in regard to it being a god to you. Now, he says you can't serve two masters, and you can't serve God and mammon. Now, I know a lot of Christians would just stand there and just unblinkingly look at me and say, well, Dr. Bill, I don't serve mammon. Really? We're going to think about that a minute. You know, Keith Moore, when he was teaching along these lines, he said, there's a whole lot of people serve that bass boat. Uh-oh. He said, I don't see them in here in service on Sunday morning. Why? Because they're out on their bass boat. That bass boat cost them money, didn't it? It was a possession they acquired. It's something they enjoy. Well, there's nothing wrong with enjoying a bass boat. Praise the Lord. My dad had a bass boat, and we loved it. We rode that thing all around the lake. I mean, it was a lot of fun. But Sunday morning must not be the only possible time that you're out there on that bass boat. Why is it that all day Saturday you didn't get on the boat, but Sunday morning you're there on the boat? Well, see, that speaks to something. That speaks to where your heart is. And that's really what we're talking about here when it comes to attitude, is attitude of the heart. Where is your heart? What are you serving? You might say, well, now, you know, I don't serve my bass boat. Really? You know, when you went to get that thing, how badly did you want it? Let's substitute bass boat. Let's put car in there. Or musical instrument. Uh-oh. Or computer. Oh. now we're making it personal. Well, it's called a personal computer, you know. And I'll tell you a story about this computer. This particular computer is a MacBook Pro, 17-inch, 16 gig of memory. Awesome. And I wanted one pert nigh on to a decade. You know, a whole decade. Now, you can ask Ben, you can ask Belinda. I talked about a MacBook Pro. Every time you turn around, I was talking about a MacBook Pro. And before too long, they were like, I'm tired of hearing about this MacBook Pro. Yeah, I got an amen. And so, you know, what was it? Well, I really wanted one. But you know, the doggone things are expensive. And I just couldn't bring myself to pay that kind of money for a computer, because I was used to building my own and, you know, and getting it on the cheap and, you know, taking old stuff and making it new and refurbishing and upgrading. And I just couldn't see myself buying a MacBook Pro. And so for years, I confessed MacBook Pro. I thought MacBook Pro. I meditated on MacBook Pro. And finally, praise the Lord, I got one. Hallelujah. But you know, the funny thing is, it's a computer. It runs and it works and it's all good. But it didn't make me a better person. It didn't improve me. Only God can do that. And this thing can't be my God. And you know, now, understand, I am not making this confession. But if it got run over by a truck, which it won't because it's supernaturally protected. But if it did, I'd go, well, hallelujah. It wouldn't really, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be the end of the world. And people treat things that way. If I don't have this thing, then that's the end of the world. If I don't have that car, then my life is just a waste. That's the way it sounds. That's when you know you're serving mammon. Because it's obviously got a greater position in your life than it should. And the thing about it is, God is not against you having a MacBook Pro. He's not against you having a bass boat. He's not against you having a car, whatever it might be, a house. But he's against that thing having you. He's against that thing being a god. God, and I'll tell you something about God here, and you know this from reading the Word of God. He is a jealous God. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's God. He gets the right to be a jealous God, all right? I mean, you know, some people say, well, that's not very nice. He's God. There's no one beyond him. He is the ultimate. So the fact that he thinks well of himself is fine. He's God. And there shouldn't be anyone or anything higher than him in our lives. Amen? So we'll keep reading here. Therefore I say unto you, this is verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. That's your clothes, ladies. I know a lot of ladies go, oh, I've got to have that dress. Okay, if you want it, have it. But don't let it have you. So he says, don't take thought. Don't constantly be thinking about, I got to have that piece of clothing, whatever it is. Or I got to have this particular food or drink or whatever. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. In other words, he takes care of them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, I've said before, there's a lot of environmentalist wacko types that just hadn't got that vision that people are more important than animals. Now, I love animals. Don't get me wrong. I have a kitty cat that I love that kitty cat. She's a sweetie, okay? But you know what? People are more important than my cat. And that's a revelation to a lot of folks. I know they're probably going, oh, no. No, same thing is true of horses, dogs, cows, whatever. The polar bears that are, you know, swimming around because they can't walk on the ice anymore. Right. You know, all that crazy stuff that we hear about. The snail darters. You know, people are more important. And people get to use the resources of this planet because God gave us the resources of this planet to use for people. Now, again, that doesn't mean we're cruel to animals. That doesn't mean we go out of our way to you know, shoot them or whatever, you know, just for the fun of it. Or, you know, again, if hunting is your thing, I'm not putting hunting down per se, because hopefully you take those animals and use the resources, eat the meat, use the leather, whatever. Again, that's not my point. The point is people are more important. So that's what Jesus is saying here. I think this is something a lot of these environmentalist wacko types would be amazed to find out, that people are more important than birds. But now Jesus' point is that if he takes care of the birds that well, then surely he'll take care of us. So really, we don't have to worry about the things we need, whether it's clothes or food or drink or cars or whatever. God will take care of that. But again, the attitude, that's the key thing we're looking at here, is the attitude. We're not looking to the things, we're looking to God. And by seeking him first, the things come. And they come in such a way that it's not even really a big deal. We're not like, oh, Lord, Lord, I got to have it, I got to have it, got to have it. That's the wrong attitude. That means you want the thing, see, more than seeking the Lord. So again, attitude. So let's keep reading here. Which of you, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven or into the fire, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The folks he's talking to here that have the wrong attitude are not operating in faith the way they should. Can you see that? Because if they were, he wouldn't say, oh, ye of little faith. He'd say, oh, ye of great faith. No, these folks didn't have a lot of faith because they were looking to the thing to fulfill them. Now, Brother Keith said something as he was teaching along these lines that really struck me, and that was this. He was saying, you know, I have made a decision. Now, listen to this closely. I have made a decision to get a hold of my vocabulary, and this is just him personally now, and I agree with it. I've decided I'm going to do the same thing. And I'm no longer going to say, I love my car. I love my house. I may say I enjoy it. I may say I like it. But I don't love it, because love is not something that you should be involved in when it comes to things. Now, why do I say that? Because the Word of God tells us we are to love not the world. Matter of fact, hold your place at Matthew 6 and let's go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. Now, he's not talking about not loving people and reaching them with the gospel. He's talking about the world and how it has effect on you. And that is clear from what he goes on to say in the next part of the verse. Neither love the things that are in the world. See, if we just love the car and love the house and love the thing that's in the world, our focus is wrong. And that's what we're talking about, is watching our attitude. What is your attitude toward the things of the world? Here it says, if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, my goodness. Now, hold on a minute. I don't want anybody questioning my love of God, of the Father. Amen? And I'm sure you'd say the same thing. So I need to get serious about not loving the things that are in the world. Now, again, I can enjoy them. I can like them. I'm not saying hate your car, you know, obviously. I'm saying don't let it have you. Don't let it possess you. Don't love it. Just enjoy it. Nothing wrong with enjoying things. We'll find that out later in our study. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, how much is all? All's all. Big word. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, it is of the world. Now, how many times have we heard Pastor Ed talk about this very scripture with regard to these are the areas that Satan tries to pull you off in? And it's also what he used on Adam and Eve. Amen? With them, he tried to get them to look at the fruit that they weren't to have, lust after that fruit that they weren't supposed to have, and partake of that fruit that they weren't supposed to have. And he also tempted Jesus in these same three areas. This is his methodology. So this is what we need to look for and watch out for. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those things are not of the Father, they are of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now these things that we enjoy, again, nothing wrong with enjoying them, we'll find that out in a bit, but nothing wrong with enjoying them, but they'll pass away. No matter what your thing is that you're enjoying, the sad truth is, it's rusting, it's corroding, it's getting old. Now, you may polish it and shine it and try to take care of it. And yeah, nothing wrong with that. But it's still degrading in quality. You know that with a car. You drive a car off the lot, brand new, you turn right around and drive it back on the lot, you won't get the same thing for it. You paid for it. Why? Because now it's a used car. It's a little crazy, but it's really true. I heard somebody say one time, I don't understand why my car isn't worth what I paid for it before, in other words, already, before I even make the first payment. You know, it just doesn't seem right. But that's just the way it is. That car, simply driving it off of the lot, is already wearing. It's already becoming less, you know, less new, if that makes sense. It's degenerating to a certain extent. And here's the truth of this. There's a scientific term, you may have heard of this before, scientific term called entropy. Everything in the natural world tends to entropy. Entropy is that systems that are ordered tend to break down. Metal tends to rust. It's just the world. I think, personally, I don't have Bible on this, but just personally, I think this is a result of the fall and a result of sin entering into the world and the curse entering into the world. And because of that, things that are new and fresh and clean and shiny get dull and rusted and old and start breaking down. Now you say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, you know, the children of Israel left Egypt, and when they did, their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out that whole time. Well, that's supernatural, isn't it? That's supernatural divine protection. And you know what? You can believe for supernatural divine protection on your things as long as the things don't have you. Now, why do we know that? Because if you let the things have you, you're of little faith, your faith won't work, and the protection won't be there. Okay? But if you just take the attitude, well, praise the Lord blessed me with this car is just going to run, not going to have any problems with it, it's a blessing of the Lord, well, he'll take care of it. Amen. You can believe for that. But the thing is, the whole time you're believing for that, where's your attention? On the Lord that blessed you with the car. On the Lord that's going to keep that car running well. Not on the car. The car is not the thing. You know, or put it this way, the car is the thing, therefore it's going to not matter, you know, in the long run. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back up to Matthew 6. We were getting a little ahead of ourselves there. Wherefore, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought. Notice that. The way he phrases that. Take no thought. Do you know a thought can be presented to you, but you don't have to take it? Same thing's true of a temptation. A temptation can be presented to you, but you don't have to take it. That's why it's a temptation, not a sin. Now, once you take the temptation and do the thing that the temptation's encouraging you to do, that's when it becomes sin. Because you did it. You know, full will involved, you did it. But just the temptations, you know that the Word of God says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, because he didn't take the temptation up on what it was offering. So he was tempted yet without sin. Did you know you can be tempted and not sin if you decide not to take the temptation and run with it? But now if you take the temptation and run with it, guess what? You can repent and ask God to forgive you, and he will forgive you. But repent does mean turn, not do it again. Okay? Now I know there's people, let's face it, all of us have something we deal with all the time. Just seems like we are constantly dealing with that thing, and we are believing God to get a hold of it. You know, God understands that, and he works with you on that. There's always a way. Whenever a temptation comes, he provides a means of escape. And if you find that means of escape, praise the Lord, you can take it and run with it, not have to be taken by the temptation. And that's what we ought to be doing. Too many Christians today, I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit here, too many Christians today have bought into this greasy grace idea that, well, it doesn't matter what I do, and so I'll just do whatever I want to do. And they just go out and sin big time. Don't even have a thought about it. Now, I tell you the danger of that. There's a lot of dangers in that, but one of the big ones is your heart will begin to get calloused toward the fact that it's wrong. Now, you look at the world. Boy, I am getting off on a tangent, but this is a good tangent, so I'm going to run with it. I did a message a few years ago called The Mystery of Lawlessness. And if you were not here for that message, this was years ago, I don't know, probably 4 years ago or more, you can go to our website, wfm.org, look at the teaching archive, and go in there, and that message is in there. You can download the MP3 file, or you can play it right there on the website, whatever. But I'm telling you, every so often you teach something and the Holy Ghost just completely takes over so strong that after I taught that message, I went back and listened to it and went, wow, that is good information. And it wasn't because I taught it, because it was entirely the Holy Ghost, okay? That message is strong, and the reason it's strong, I believe, is because it is so important for us in this particular day that we're in right now. The mystery of lawlessness is at work. There is a spirit of lawlessness, and that spirit and mystery of lawlessness is at work today more than I've ever seen it. We have politicians that are publicly standing up and brazenly saying, I will not obey this law, I will do this. And just boldly breaking the law, breaking the Constitution, breaking laws that have been enacted. And because of the mystery of lawlessness, now this is the point you need to get, because of the mystery of lawlessness, the world is stepping back and letting them get away with it. Because they are also lawless. Lawless means the law exists, but they do not obey the law consistently, repeatedly. They live in a state of breaking that law to the point that the whole world has gotten callous to that. Now you think about this. Right now we have a chief executive of the United States that stands there and says, I don't care what the lawmaking body of our country says, I have a pen and I have a phone and I'll do whatever I want to do. And he's supposed to be a constitutional scholar, so he must, if he truly is a constitutional scholar, which I might debate, but still, if he is, that means he is knowingly breaking the law, going against the Constitution of the United States that he has sworn to uphold, and does not bat an eye. Matter of fact, he happily uses his pen and his phone to do anything he wants to do. Now, the question I have, could that have been something that we would have seen regularly, day after day after day on the news 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? I mean, if we had a president that would have done that, oh my goodness, the door would have had to hit him on the back end as he left, because they'd have impeached him so fast. Today, it's like, oh no, well, what are you going to do? The mystery of lawlessness is at work. The world is moving in a lawless direction. They're breaking the law regularly. Now, going back to my point that I was trying to make before I got on my soapbox, is that as an individual, you can do the same thing with regard to sin. You keep operating in that sin, doing that sin, committing that sin. Oh, Lord, forgive me, committing that sin. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Well, we'll have to stop right there and pick up next time to conclude this message on watching your attitude. So I'd enjoy for you to tell folks about the Netcast. Let them know that we're here preaching and teaching the uncompromising Word of Faith. You can write us here, by the way, at Word of Faith Ministries. That's Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And, of course, you can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. And, again, take advantage of all the opportunities on our website, WOFM.org. We have our videos there. We have audio messages there. Matter of fact, this very audio message is available on the website. You can download it. You can listen online, whatever you'd like to do. Also, our videos are there, like this video, and information about Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org, and SpeakFaith.tv is there as well. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.